Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Joining us on the line, Professor Adrian Apuran, Acting Executive Director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases, the NICD. A very, very good morning, and thanks for coming back on to the show. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity to be on the show. Thank you.
So what is the current position? How effective is the Sputnik vaccine as well as the Chinese Sinopharm shot? Do we have enough information?
Look, that at least for the Sinovac, I think we need to have information that comes from regulatory authorities that are recognized. It's an interesting virus vaccine in the sense that it does not use, for example, an mRNA model like the Pfizer or a adenovirus background such as the one that's used by AstraZeneca, for example. So it's an inactivated virus, and it's actually quite interesting when you look at the what's available in the public sphere, that it's widely distributed in terms of use in different countries. But however, it's not clear what the basis is for the utilization of that. So Sinovac certainly released information that it has a particular level of efficacy. I think it was about 71%. But again, there's been different reports from different countries about the efficacy of that particular vaccine. So I think that that still remains to be determined.
What was when you look at,
apologies. Go ahead.
One of our listeners listening in from Shanghai earlier this morning, he made a comment, and he said that there are four different Chinese vaccines, which is quite interesting. He says that you know, and they haven't, you know, a lot of people are not are choosing not to to get them because the range is 50 to 70% efficacy. Look, you know, this is just somebody living in China. This is the information that they are receiving there.
Yes, that's why I say I think it's important to have a regulatory authority, you know, pronounce that this is what it is, as well as the fact that we need to see some peer-reviewed literature to determine what was what that trial design, what were the specific outcomes, and so forth, as have happened for the other vaccines as well.
Or do we have more information with regard to Sputnik?
Correct. So the Sputnik is, again, a very interesting design. It uses two adenovirus backbones, the adeno-26 and adeno-5. And so that's given in a phased way. So you have two injections for that particular vaccine. The idea is that because the adenovirus may induce immunity, it's thought that's why they then substituted that for in the second vaccine with the adeno-5 vaccine to avoid that particular problem. But I'll come back to adeno-5. They have published their results, and the efficacy that they've published based on a trial of about, I think, 21,000 individuals was about 91% in terms of efficacy. So that's in the realm of the other vaccines, and it meets the WHO criteria. Again, very interestingly, I think it's AstraZeneca that are going to be looking at combining or using that particular vaccine in combination with theirs in terms of you know, swapping out vaccines by using different combinations. So that's a very interesting result there, or which should be interesting results coming out from that particular trial. Again, I suppose, again, the regulatory authority that really needs to monitor and see how these vaccines perform. Again, as I said, there's only been, as far as I'm aware, maybe I stand to be corrected, only one single major trial. It's quite useful to see whether or not in other countries and other settings, as has been done for the other vaccines, you know, what the efficacy of this particular vaccine is.
One of our listeners also said that in Zimbabwe they've already started. Their relatives in Zimbabwe have received the Chinese vaccine, but obviously we have no idea yet what the efficacy is. I'm sorry, Professor, you were about to say something.
So again, interestingly, as I said, the combination is two adenoviruses and adenovirus 5. As you know, we had some large-scale HIV trials using adeno-5, and it had a paradoxical effect in the sense that there were larger numbers of HIV infected individuals in that HIV trial. So again, that's another important consideration to go that route. You know, what are the implications of using that particular type of background virus in the setting of HIV. So that'd be interesting to see how that's managed if the South African government decides to go that particular route.
When are we hoping to, I mean, I know that we were meant to start the, or resume the trials yesterday, but when does the actual vaccine rollout officially begin?
So that starts at 7 o'clock on the 17th of May.
Right.
I think that's when it will start. I believe that's the start day is the 17th of May for the broader rollout. I think they would like to have completed the vaccination of the healthcare workers by that particular time. I also want to just come back to your point. You know, when we talk about the vaccines, we haven't spoken about whether these vaccines are going to be as efficacious against the current variant in circulation in South Africa.
Mm.
So that's another factor I think that we need to just bear in the back of our mind, because as you know, we did not use the AstraZeneca for that particular reason.
Right.
I'm not sure what's going to happen with the Novavax, and that there are attempts by, I think, Pfizer and probably Moderna to substitute the mutations in order to cater for that particular background in circulation. So that is another important consideration when consider using those particular vaccines, yes.
But at this stage, the South African vaccine of choice, or the way in which it looks it's going to proceed, is both with Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes. I think there are some discussions, I understand, with Moderna.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I'm not sure to what extent that's going to contribute. I did note a comment, again, I have not seen confirmation of it, that South Africa has purchased sufficient vaccine. But again, if you're thinking about an increase in the R value, then again, your so-called herd immunity threshold may well change or increase. You know, I think the number that is being bandied about, and at least in the press, is about 67%. But if this variant that we have in circulation is certainly a contributor of transmission rates, or the high transmission rates, then one would have to consider possibly higher herd immunity thresholds, in which case then you'd have to vaccinate a larger proportion of your population, or at least your adult population.
Unfortunately, that's all we have time for. Professor Adrian Apuran, Acting Executive Director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases, the NIC, talking about the Chinese Sinopharm as well as Sputnik.